Chapter 34. The next day was Sunday. My mother and I should have been in church thanking the Lord for bringing us through a month of dangers, close calls, and amazing revelations, instead of sitting in a pew singing praises to God and offering up our heartfelt prayers of thankfulness. We were in Grant's double cab truck, on our way to Granny Grace's acres. True to its changeable temperament, the weather was perfect. The sun shone and only traces of snow clung to the hillsides. The temperature edged toward 60 degrees. Birds sang, as if spring had already made her appearance and the sky was that clean azure color that caused human spirits to soar. However, one human was doing battle with her conscience. "We will go to tonight's service," Mom said. "I'm sure Pastor Huggins's sermon will be just as good tonight as it is this morning." Grant smiled down at me. I was snuggled between him and my parent, as close to his warm, broad shoulder as I could get.
"I'll go with you," he said.
"It's a good day for an outing,"
Mom admitted, nudging the hamper at her feet.
"I believe the Lord understands when we need to be in His great out of doors instead of stuck within man-made walls."
I giggled.
"Stuck, Mom?"
She sniffed.
"Well, you know what I mean."
Mom had packed a lunch and brought along a blanket. We were adding a festive air to our trip by way of a picnic lunch. Grant drove to my grandparents' old home place along a back road, the same way I had gone the day the spiderwebs clogged my vision, the day Grant had declared he loved me. At last we arrived at our destination. Grant jumped from the truck and held the sagging wire fence down with one foot while my mother and I stepped over it, onto Daniel's land. Taking the hamper, he led the way on the stepping stones across Lee Creek.
"Darcy, do you remember that you heard a pickaxe or a shovel the day you came out here by yourself?"
he asked. I nodded. "I sure thought I did, but then I ran into those giant cobwebs, and looking back at it, I don't know if they were real or not. Maybe I imagined them, and maybe I just thought I heard somebody digging."
He shook his head. "You didn't imagine it. Follow me. Be careful of those rocks and bushes. There's poison ivy in among them."
I grasped Mom's hand as Grant walked in front, holding limbs out of our way and offering help in the rough places. At last he led us to a gravel bar jutting into Lee Creek. The rocky limestone bluff met the land here. The little creek was a small rivulet, hugging the side of the cliff. He stepped across the creek and climbed a short way up the bluff. Moving aside a large bush, he revealed a large hole in the overhanging rock and a pickaxe lying beside it.
"So I did hear somebody digging," I said. "But digging for what?"
Grant looked down at Mom.
"Silver," he said. "There's quite a large vein of silver running through your land, Miss Flora."
"What did you say?" Mom asked. "Did you say there's silver in the rocks there?"
Grant nodded.
"Sure is. Enough to make you a very wealthy woman, Miss Flora. Do you mind if we spread out that blanket, Darcy? Did you bring some of your famous coffee, Miss Flora? This is going to be a long story. We might as well be comfortable."
A small, flat rock on the gravel bar made a perfect table. Grant set the hamper on it. Sitting on the blanket, Grant began to put the finishing touches to the unbelievable mystery that had very nearly taken our lives.
"Stuart Wood of Innovation Technology is a shady character operating just within the limits of the law,"
Grant began.
"His business is a fly-by-night outfit. He bilks unsuspecting people out of their money if he can. Evidently, he heard rumors that this part of Oklahoma might have deposits of valuable minerals. Have you two heard of the legend of bars of Spanish gold and silver being buried somewhere around Comanche, Oklahoma?"
I nodded. Mom poured 3 cups of coffee, handing 2 to Grant and me.
"I've heard that old tale all my life," she said, "but a lot of people have hunted for it over the years. If the legends were true, I'd think it would have been found by now. Personally, I think it's just that, an old tale, nothing to it."
"Stuart Wood believes it," Grant said. "He's a treasure hunter with his sights set on digging up a fortune somewhere. He had heard the legends about gold being buried around these parts, too. Maybe loot of outlaws like Jesse James, or more modern ones like Pretty Boy Floyd. Anyway, he did some research and found a descendant of one of those bad guys, Chester Overton. Can you guess who that relative is?
Jude Melton? I asked.
Grant shook his head. Bruce Dowell. Bruce is the great-grandson of old Chester.
Mom smoothed a corner of the blanket we sat on. I guess that explains Bruce's interest in what Cub found in the old well. And maybe that also explains why he wanted to pasture his cattle on my land. It would give him a good excuse to snoop around while he was supposed to be taking care of his cattle.
Correct,
Grant said.
He thought if there was any treasure buried out here, it should rightfully be his, and you can bet if he had found anything, he wouldn't have told anybody.
I shook my head. That's twisted thinking, Grant. How could Bruce assume that renting a pasture gave him ownership of what's under the ground?
Grant grinned. If you haven't noticed, Darcy, Bruce is just a little bit of a twisted character. He also carries around a big chunk of self-pity and suspicions. He convinced himself that old Chester had buried something on your land.
Off in the distance, a couple of crows cawed. A squirrel scooted headfirst down an oak and bounded away through tall grass, probably on his way to a buried cache of nuts. This was such a peaceful scene, unchanged for centuries, except for that scar in the hillside and the pickaxe that lay beside it. What about Eileen and Jude Melton? I asked. Were they related to Bruce? Grant poured another cup of coffee from the thermos.
No, they were two people that Mr. Wood picked up to use for his own purposes. They were drifters, both of them. Eileen was never in one place very long. Somewhere along the way she met Jude, another man with a chip on his shoulder and sort of shiftless. He felt that the world owed him a living. Somehow he and Eileen met and hit it off. He idolized her.
And they were just the kind of people Stuart Wood could use, I mused.
Yes, Wood was the brains of the group. Eileen and Jude, along with Bruce, did his legwork for him, the dirty work.
He tried buying your land first, Miss Flora. That would have been a lot easier and a lot more legal.
Wood knew that it would never do for you to move out here in your new house. You would hear and see the digging he is doing. When you wouldn't sell, he was ready to resort to violence. Eileen and Jude were the ones doing the spying and putting poison in your coffee, Darcy. If they had been caught, he would have been in the clear, or so he thought.
So that's the reason he offered me a lot of money for a little bit of rocky land,
Mom said, tossing a stick into the water. What are you going to do with the land, now that you know there is silver on it? I asked her.
What do you think I should do?
Mom asked.
You're the one who will be inheriting all this someday.
These hills, with Lee Creek running through to the river, the rocks, trees, and animals were forever a part of me. My family's history lay here among the trees, the rocks, Lee Creek, and the Ventress River. The cleared land where my grandparents' house had stood, the old apple orchard in bad need of care, the lonely cemetery with its leaning headstones and the one unmarked grave. I loved it all with a fierceness that surprised me. I could not imagine heavy equipment digging up the hillside, trucks muddying the stream, trees being cut, and animals without their habitat. I shook my head. I like it just as it is.
If people knew about that silver, they would say you are standing in the way of progress, Darcy. Are you ready for that?
Mom asked. I picked up a flat pebble and expertly skipped it across the stream. Sometimes progress is just another word for greed, I said.
Besides, who is going to know?
Grant asked.
I can cover up that hole, and I doubt that Stuart Wood or Jude or Bruce will be in much of a position to say anything.
I tapped him on the shoulder and feigned shock. Why, Sheriff Henley, are you going to be withholding evidence?
Mom nodded. Or obstructing justice?
Grant grinned and caught my hand.
At this moment, in a jail in Levi, justice is being served, and as for evidence, what evidence? I don't see anything here of interest to anybody but us. Do you?
We three, along with our circle of trusted friends, were getting pretty good at keeping secrets. It was absolutely alarming the secrets we had uncovered and wouldn't be sharing with anybody else. Cub's ears would certainly twitch if he got word of the truth inside that parcel he had found. By the time it made the gossip circuit of Levi, the true story of Granny Grace's first husband, Caldwell's murder, the murderer, Mom's and my brush with death, and the silver on our land, who knows how that story would have changed? What truths would be twisted? My mother and I had wished many times that Cub's curiosity had not led him to look into the old hand-dug well, but maybe instead of being a villain, Cub was the hero here. He had started us on a strange pathway into the past. We had uncovered a mystery we didn't know existed. Because of Cub's nosiness, Mom had discovered her birth mother, and a new bond was being forged between her and Miss Georgia. I had come face to face with greed and lies and death, but in the process I had discovered how much a good man loved me and how much I loved him. I twined my fingers through Grant's and smiled up into those clear blue eyes. You're right, Sheriff. There's nothing on this land that would interest anybody else in all of Ventress County. Who needs a silver mine? I've got everything I could ever want. Right here, already, I am a rich woman. Grant raised his coffee cup.
Well said, Darcy Tucker.
Mom and I lifted our cups, and we three clicked them together. I smiled and for once didn't correct him. I liked the sound of Darcy Tucker Campbell, but I also liked Darcy Hendley. I believed I could get used to that new name with no trouble at all.